My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
What's the medicine for a German recession? Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for tuning in. New figures suggest Germany could already be in recession as business activity contracted for a fourth straight month in October. Experts are labelling Europe's largest economy the sick man of Europe, as the International Monetary Fund expects the country to be the only advanced economy to shrink this year, with a forecasted contraction of 0.3%. Now, obviously, the sick man of Europe is a label European countries try to avoid, but nearly every major European country has held the title at some point in time. The last time Germany had to deal with being dubbed the sick man was in the late 90s, when the country's growth was stagnant. Here's Clemens Fuest. He's president of the IFO Institute, an economic think tank in Munich.
The German economy is still slightly below the 2019 level, that is the economic activity before the crisis. Compared to that, all other G7 countries are now above that level.
According to the IFO's Business Climate Index, businesses in Germany have a bleak outlook towards the economy. The reason, says Fuest, is based on short-term and long-term indicators. In the short term,
Germany is very much affected by the Russian attack on Ukraine, by rising energy prices. The German economy is very exposed to Eastern Europe, and all Eastern European countries are affected by this war.
And in the long term, businesses are worried about threats to some of its strongest industries.
Germany's most important sector is the automotive sector, and the automotive sector is in the process of restructuring towards electric mobility, and that is challenging for the German companies, as for all companies. But the German companies were world leaders in cars with combustion engines, and now they have to adjust.
Meanwhile, Germany's construction sector is experiencing its biggest slump in activity for years. The Social Democratic Party's winning election campaign 2 years ago included a pledge to add 400,000 new homes to the country's housing stock each year. That goal has been missed by hundreds of thousands. Dirk Selesky is president of the German House Building Federation. He's also CEO of a company that builds houses and apartments.
First, the corona pandemic, and of course the war, and massively higher prices for everything we need for building. Especially steel, for example, was 400% more money than before.
He says interest rate hikes have also made borrowing impossible for many businesses.
We came from 0 to 1, and now we are at 4 to 5% for loans. So people can't afford anymore this high cost for building.
The problem is, says Clement Fuest from the IFO Institute, these increases are likely here to stay, even after the war.
Cheap imports of gas from Russia are over for good, or at least for a long time. And that means that there is a more basic restructuring going on in the German economy, and that against a backdrop of declining working age population, that is challenging.
That was Clemens Fuest, president of the IFO Institute there. Now, let's do the numbers. Asian stocks closed in the red as they mirrored a dip on Wall Street. French and German stocks also dipped this morning as investors anticipate the European Central Bank's decision on interest rates later. But better news for the publisher of the Harry Potter books, Bloomsbury Publishing. They reported an 11% boost in profits, coming in at just over $20 million for 6 months to August. China and Colombia have taken their diplomatic relationship to the next level, calling it a strategic partnership. Now, this might raise eyebrows in Washington because Colombia is the oldest US ally in Latin America. And this upgrade means China has now strategic ties with 10 out of the 11 South American countries it deals with. So what's the reason for making the Colombian-Chinese relationship stronger? Sergio Guzman is the director of Colombia Risk Analysis in Bogota.
I think Colombia wants to play the West and China off of one another, seeking opportunities in terms of infrastructure development, renewable energy, and of course, greater trade and export. So I think what they agreed to was to elevate the relationship a step forward, but not to fully engage Colombia into the Belt and Road Initiative. It's not going to be to Washington's liking that Colombia is stretching ties to China, but it could have been much worse. It could have been a signature of the Belt and Road Initiative, which would have created a headache in Washington with a bilateral relation. But mind you, the bilateral statement by Colombia and China doesn't mention strategic sectors, both for the government of Colombia and for the United States, which includes security, defense cooperation, or anti-drug trafficking operations. Colombia can export avocados, meat, quinoa, all sorts of agricultural products, but many of them have very little value add. They're commodity exports. And so the trade imbalance between Colombia and China is huge. Colombia has a very significant deficit in terms of trade with China. It mostly imports electronics, technology, apparatuses, and appliances, and it mostly exports oil, coal, and agricultural produce to China. So I do think Colombia has a long way to go in terms of improving that bilateral relation, and President Petro's agreements are a non-binding step in that direction.
Sergio Guzman, director of Colombia Risk Analysis there. And finally, the power of movies. The latest results from the Barbie maker Mattel shows that toy sales jumped 16% in the latest quarter period compared to last year. And it's all driven by the big screen success. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producer today was Olivia Wilson, and I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.